Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about improving your child's education experience by parental participation. How do we get parents to participate in their child's school? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kim, calling from D.C. Kim, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, thank you for allowing me to share my view. I am I'm an old school parent, so my daughter went to Merch and she went to Hearst as well. But I have three things that I wanted to share with the experts in the audience. I was a very active parent, and I think a part of me being active is that my relationship that I have built with other parents and accountability was there. And so we leaned on each other, especially when we had issues with the school, we had issues with administration, or any activity. We leaned on each other. And I think a lot of times parents don't lean on each other anymore. Parents come, drop their kids off, and they go off. No one is concerned about each other. How are we doing? The same relationships we do in our own business or within our own working environment, we should bring to the school. With that being said, I think there's a parent accountability process that probably needs to be implemented. The second thing is some of the private schools have community service. The parents have to perform community service. And that's also relationship building. Now, I know that public schools, you know, it's free education, so everything is, I don't have to do this because I'm paying it through my taxes. Well, you know, yeah, you're paying through your taxes, but you're paying something. So I think maybe there's a process in adding community service requirements to parents, and that also encourages them and gets them engaged with each other in activities and with the school. And my last point is perhaps we need to meet the parents where they are. Parents are adults, and maybe perhaps they will attend meetings that are pertaining to their life. Maybe there's a parent who's unemployed, unable to find a job, and so her mindset is about, or his mindset is about, I got to get a job. I don't have time to go to a PTA meeting because I'm working at a restaurant or a store, and I really need to be doing the professional. Maybe we need to bring to the school some professional development or bring some networking skills, or probably do something, a webinar or a seminar on homework skills or being a better parent or multitasking. Something that encourages parents to want to, like, oh, wow, they're doing something that maybe I can be interested, just to get them involved. So we probably need to think of things differently. And not so much take away the daddy and daughter dance and the fundraisers and all that, but kind of meet the parents where they are so that they are coming in thinking, this is also a school for my daughter and my son, mm-hmm. but I'm getting something, so I'm going to get something back.
Let me see what Nicole has to say about that, because I think all of those ideas are great. That does require an additional commitment from mm-hmm. teachers and schools, and one could argue that they are already overcommitted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, we actually have that issue as well. But let me just say this. Something came to me when she was talking, and I was like, it's a tagline. PTA, more than meetings. Okay? We are more than meetings. I mean, really, our meetings are almost irrelevant. I mean, I hope none of my board members are listening, but we communicate on Facebook. We communicate on, you know, emails and things. So the meetings are usually repetitive of things that we've already done. That's why I want to encourage parents to do two things, three things. Number one, get a calendar. So it is a commitment, but get a calendar. And on that 9 to 10 month calendar, I want you to plot 1 hour. 1 hour a month, whether it is sending out correspondence in your classroom. Hey, we're having a fundraiser. We want you to create that list to get the other people who have more flexibility in their time. That's what I did. When I was working a 9 to 5, I have my own business now. I have a little more flexibility. But when I was landlocked, as I say, I realized that those teen parents or those class parents had different roles. One was just communication. We need the parents to know about stuff. So be that person. You can do that from behind your desk. Get that calendar 1 hour a month figure out something that goes into your schedule. And it is a commitment. It is, you do not have to sit at 8:30 at night on a weekday and listen to people regurgitate what they've already told you on Facebook, okay? But figure out if it's a social activity, a fundraiser, or an event that they need. And I want you to put it on your calendar. You put your hair appointments on the daggone calendar. You go to church and you volunteer and make that potato salad for your church on that calendar. I want you to bake those cookies, or I want you to put that email out, or I want you to write that check. There are 5,000 things that you find time for. And if you can't find time to make a relationship, that's what this is about, relationships with those teachers, so that when something does happen to your child that you need addressed, you're not making a cold call and you're not going in there all aggressive with a problem. They already know you because you've already been of service to them, and they will return that in kind.
Kim, thank you so much for your phone call.
And you know what, too, Nicole, I was thinking while you were saying that is that can be something, again, that is garnered between the PTA, the administration, and then parents. So everything that you just said, that's something that can be taken to the administration and say, hey, when parents come into, like at our school, we had a sixth grade boot camp last week mm-hmm. to get the kids ready. So the parents actually had to come into the school, get the kids t-shirt, gym shirts, and all the other stuff. That's when you can start that relationship building and letting parents know, hey, here's our classroom Twitter, here's our whatever. Mm-hmm. And also it's on the onus of the teachers too to make themselves available. Say, yes. Okay, here are my hours. You know, Tuesdays between 9 and 10 is my planning. Those are my times to have a conference call with you or something of that nature. And then that way everyone's communicating, and then parents don't feel intimidated, because I think a lot of parents come in because they are intimidated.
Sometimes the teachers are intimidated too, because they only get those aggressive meetings.
Right, right. And that's where the relationship comes in. And we can start now.
Yes.
You know,
everything
it doesn't have to be
happy and joyful.
right. You know, parents are happy to drop the kids off. You know, teachers are feeling great because they had a great summer, and start those conversations. Even back to school night, have desserts. You know, you can go wherever and buy a case of cookies or waters or whatever.
Absolutely.
And just have some jazz playing or something, and just let the parents know that you are a human being. You're not just a teacher, an authoritarian person.
Lois, calling from Gaithersburg. Thanks for calling, Lois. What's on your mind?
I have a really quick question. I've heard what everybody said, and you kind of answered most of my question. But integral to this whole relationship of the parents with the teachers, how does this really affect the child, your student? What is the one-to-one benefit to the student for your parent participating? Perhaps if you communicated that, people will see the one-to-one benefit and become more participative.
I got you. That's so important. It is, you are your, I'll say this, your hype man for your kid, all right? So when you come in, listen, those teachers don't know your children, right? And they are going to only see them one-dimensionally. You come in and you're being an active parent, they know that they can't set the narrative for your child. I set the tone for my children. I come in, I give the lay of the land. Hey, my child really likes math. He's a little antsy. His best friend Gus is going to be in this classroom. You better put him on this side and put him on, and my son on this side. That's, you know what I'm saying? It's very strategic. I am pleasant, but I have a goal here, and my goal is to make sure my child gets the best out of that teacher, because they are human beings and they are burdened and they are stressed. And if your child gets them on that wrong day and they feel unsupported, your kid may get that lower grade. I'm just saying, they may not get the benefit of the doubt. But when they have a strong, kind-hearted, generous parent that supports them, your kid is going to get, that's going to translate to your child, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, I concur. I know a lot of times for us and teachers, we joke about it, is when you have a kind teacher and you have a student who's like just shy of an A mm-hmm. by a quarter of a point or whatever, a lot of times you bump that grade up a little bit because you have a great relationship, not only with the parent, but with the child as well. And the children are a reflection of their parents 9 times out of 10. So you have a kind child who was respectful. I've had students come to me. I tell the students at the beginning of the school year, hey, if you notice noticed your grades are starting to drop, come see me. If you come see me, I'll give you a little bit of extra credit. You got to get it done. And I let the parents know, hey, your child came to see me about some extra credit. And then that parent is on me. Hey, Ms. Barnett, they're going to be dropping it off, you know, tomorrow. Make sure, you know, they get it. And so those communication lines are open. And then that child feels great. And I teach the kids, advocate for yourself as well. Because some children don't have a parent who does advocate. So I empower the children to advocate for themselves as well.
And Lois, let me say also, just from personal experience, if you have a child who has a tendency to be a little more expressive, as I was, both of my parents are retired educators, because they were, and they had great relationships with my teachers. Woe be unto me that my teachers would be comfortable calling my parents whenever I acted up. Right. And so if parents don't have a relationship with teachers, those teachers may, unless those circumstances are extreme, may be less comfortable reaching out to a parent. But because my parents had a great relationship, if I belched without saying excuse me, I would hear about it. So something to think about. Lois, true. Thank you so much.
And can I just say, we're setting our kids up.
You're welcome. And good luck to you. Real quick,
just saying that when you teach your kids at an early age how to be advocates and how to build those relationships, that's going to be so great for them going out into the work world and doing that with their boss and their coworkers. You're teaching them those soft skills at an early age by being an example.
Nicole Colbert, Tonya Barnett, thank you both for coming in. Have a great school year for you and your young ones. And also thank you and all of our listeners for calling in with some great insight and questions. That is The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Monday, August 28th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can follow me on Twitter at HFisher, WHUR, or Daily Drum, WHUR. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton.